Number 113, everybody stand and sing. Number 113. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand
Amen. God bless you, Brother Farmer. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Well, I certainly ask for your prayers today. If you would like to read along with me in the scripture reading today, I'm going to ask you to turn to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And I want to begin reading with verse 10 and read through verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that, as I said, concludes my reading, having read through the 20th verse of Ephesians chapter 6. Now, in the verse where I began to read, in verse 10, Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he also said in verses 13 and 14, he said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And so with the thought that is given to us from those three verses there, I want to speak to you today, and I want to use the title, Standing Strong. And we need to remember that when we stand, that if we're going to make a strong stand, that we're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because, you know, upon our own, by ourselves, we're not going to make a strong stand. But through the help of the Lord, we can. And so I want to speak today, primarily to those of us who are saved, who are to be servants of the Lord in this life, that we need to stand and we need to stand strong. How many of you knew Brother F.L. Ray? Well, Brother F.L. Ray, back in the early 70s, I believe it was, he wrote a booklet, and he used, for the title of that, he used these words that we find in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And the title of his book was, Having Done All to Stand, Stand Therefore. And I don't know, how many of you have read that. I thought it was very well written. I've read it several different times. If you would like to read it, you just let me know, and I'll be happy to let you borrow a copy of it. But in that book, and I don't know if anybody that has read it remembers this or not, but in that book that he wrote, in the foreword of the book, and I don't know who wrote the foreword, it just says the foreword was written by a friend, but in the foreword of that book, his friend that wrote that spoke about some of the things that Brother Ray had done, and among those things was that during the years of his ministry, that he engaged in 12 public debates. And, that's not as common in our day as it used to be. It used to be much more common for there to be public religious debates. But during Brother Ray's ministry, he was involved in 12 debates where he stood and defended the Word of God. And, to me, when I read that, to me, that's a testimony about him that not only did he write a book about having done all to stand, but he stood. He stood in his lifetime. He stood in and defended and promoted the word of truth. And we still today, however, that we are called upon to do that, and as I said, those are not nearly, those debates are not commonplace like they used to be, but I'm certain that there are times for all of us that we're going to find ourselves in situations where we need to make a stand. And when we do, we need to be ready to stand for the Lord. I believe that God expects us to stand for the Lord. Paul said, having done all to stand. And of course, the formula for that is, recorded for us here in the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter. In order to stand, we need to have on the armor. We need to have on that breastplate of righteousness. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to know God's Word. We need to know what we believe, and we need to know why we believe it in order to be able to make a strong stand. And, as I said, if we're going to find strength, we're going to have to find it in the Lord. But He has plenty of strength for us. If you read the 27th Psalm, that's where David found his strength. I mean, when we speak about David, oftentimes when the name of David is brought up, we think of somebody who was a very successful soldier and a very successful leader as a king, a very successful leader of the army of Israel. And he certainly was, David certainly was a soldier in his life. But if you read the 27th Psalm, you'll find there David's testimony in that 27th Psalm. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Who do I have to fear? And so, he believed the same thing that the Apostle Paul believed and wrote about many years later, that if you're going to be strong, you've got to be strong in the Lord. And certainly, the Lord needs strong children. He needs strong Christians. He doesn't need us to be weak. We don't need to be the type of people that Paul warned about. We don't need to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men. We need to be, grounded in the Lord, and we need to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to tell you this, that if you really, anybody, any of God's children, if you really want to make a stand for the Lord in the day and age that we live in, you're going to have plenty of opportunities because there are things around us all the time, and And it seems like more and more the society in which we live, the country in which we live, well, they go further and further and further away from the Word of God. And so we're going to have plenty of opportunities if we really want to stand for the Lord and for His truth. The opportunities are going to avail themselves in our life from day after day. I believe that young Christians who are still in school are going to have opportunity after opportunity to stand for the Lord at school. Those who are in the workplace, Christians who are in the workplace, you're going to have opportunities given to you on a daily basis to stand for the Lord in the workplace if that's what you really want to do, if you really want to make a stand for the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, and you already know this, as I've already said, there are many people, in fact, there are more people all the time in this country that we live in, that they want everything except what God's Word teaches, and they are not quiet about promoting the things of the devil, are they? They're not silent about it. In fact, they're becoming more and more vocal. Listen, those things that are believed that are in opposition to God's Word, those that believe them are becoming more vocal about them all the time. They're not becoming more silent, they're becoming more vocal. And we have plenty, to stand against. You know, we need to stand for the Lord, and we need to stand against those things that are not of the Lord. We represent the Lord as His people. We that have been saved, we have what it takes. And again, this, I'm going to keep coming around to this because I believe it comes around to choice. It comes back around to what we really want to do. But if we really want to make a stand, those of us who have been saved, we can make a stand. Because I find in the 40th Psalm, in the second verse of the 40th Psalm, that when God saved us, that He brought us out of that horrible pit. He brought us up out of the miry clay, and He placed our feet upon a rock, and He established our goings. And so we have that solid foundation to stand on. We have what it takes. God has given us that. And if we will apply ourselves, and if we will apply God's Word to our lives, if we will put on the whole armor of God, if we'll have that faith, and we'll use the sword of the Spirit, and we will use the armor that God has given us, we can make a strong stand. God hasn't left us without ammunition. You know, we may think sometimes, oh my goodness, the world is becoming so wicked. The nation that we live in is becoming so wicked. Society is becoming so wicked. And we may just feel like, that these things are going to overtake us. But listen, the truth is still stronger than any error. You believe that? That God's truth is still more powerful than all of the devil's error ever can be. And so, sometimes what lacks is just us making the stand, being willing to stand up for the Lord. I'm going to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches, that as God's people, we need to make a stand for the Lord no matter what or who we have to stand against. You know, something that Jesus taught us about being a disciple is that we have to love Him more than we love anybody or anything. If we don't, Jesus said if we don't, we can't be his disciple. We've got to love him more than father, mother, sister, brother, houses, or land. He has got to be number one in the lives of all of his people. And if we don't love him in that way, then Jesus said, you're not qualified. You cannot be my disciple. And so if we, if it falls our lot, we need to be willing to make a stand. If we've got to stand against friend, if we've got to stand against family, listen, if a mother has to stand against her children, or a man against his wife, or a father against his children, or brother against brother, or sister against sister, whatever that it is, we need to be willing to stand for the Lord if we have to stand in opposition to our own children. We have an example of that in the scriptures. If you look in Galatians chapter 2, we have something that is recorded there that happened between two of the apostles, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly," listen, "when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" And so here we have an account, as I said, of two of the apostles, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And the Apostle Paul plainly telling us that he withstood Peter face to face. He stood against what the Apostle Peter was doing. Why? Because it was wrong, and because it was leading other people in the wrong direction as well. And listen, when we do things that are wrong, it's not only going to affect us, but it's going to affect people around us. And when we stand up for that which is right, you know what we need to do as God's people? We need to be Josiahs. We need to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, and we don't need to swerve to the right hand or to the left hand, but we need to do what's right in the eyes of God, regardless of who it affects. You know what I believe, Paul? I believe he loved the truth more than he loved anybody on this earth. Did you know the church is only good to the Lord when she stands for the truth? Jesus taught us that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, talking in reference to the church. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." So what good is the church if it loses the salt? What good is the church if she doesn't always, in all cases, stand for the truth, because that's what she is? The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2:15, also speaking in reference to the church, said that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If we don't stand for the truth, we're not any good to anybody, and we're not any good to the Lord. So we've got to stand for what's right. And I believe, I've shared this with you before, but I believe there's an example, a good example in the scriptures that shows us that Paul loved the truth more than he loved anybody or anything else on earth. You think about this. You think about the things that Paul had suffered because of his stand for the truth. Think about the things that Paul had gone through in his life because he preached the truth. He was persecuted. You know, there was that time when they had to let Paul down over a wall in a basket just to flee for his life, just to get away from people that wanted to kill him. I mean, there were people that sought Paul's life because he preached the truth of God's word. And here was this young man, one of his converts named Timothy. Paul addressed Timothy as his spiritual son, as his son in the faith. And he expressed the love that he had for Timothy. But yet with all the things that Paul had gone through for preaching the truth, he sits down there incarcerated and writes this epistle to Timothy and says, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Don't you know that Paul realized that if Timothy did that, that he could face the same things that he did? Well, sure. Preaching the truth could have put Timothy in his day in the same peril that it did Paul. But Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let me tell you something. In your life, as a child of God, I promise you this. The word of God promises you this. If we will stand for the truth, if one person will stand with God, that person and God, they are a majority. Their majority. If you will stand with the Lord, if you'll stand for His truth, God will stand with you every time. If nobody else will stand with you, God will stand with you if you will make a stand, a strong stand for the truth. But I'm afraid sometimes that we don't want to do that if it's going to affect our family. We don't want to do that if we're afraid, it might make a little ripple. If I do that, it may affect the fellowship that I have with this person. I'm going to tell you something. Fellowship that's not based on the truth is not worth having. If our fellowship is not based upon the truth of God's word, then we don't have fellowship. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like that precious ointment that ran down on Aaron's head and down his beard and down his garment. But I'll tell you what, if you really go and study that 133rd Psalm, those first three verses, you'll find out that truth, that unity that was being spoken about there is based upon truth. And if it's not, it's not unity and it's not fellowship. But we're afraid, if we do that, it's not just, I know it's the right thing, but if we do that, it's going to disrupt this or disrupt that. We better stand for the Lord. We better stand for what's right or things are really going to be disrupted. This message, the thought in this, calls for an answer to the question that was asked by Moses, that is recorded in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, or Exodus rather, in the 26th verse. I remember reading about Moses going up there into the mountain and receiving the commandments, coming down with the tables of stone, and while he was gone, the children of Israel corrupted themselves. And they made, Aaron made the golden calf for them, and they were worshiping that thing, and they were dancing before that thing. And here, if you can imagine the scene, here Moses comes walking down there from the mountain, and he's got these tables of stone with the very moral laws of God written by the finger of God on these stones in his hands. And here he finds Israel worshiping a false god. And in that 26th verse of Exodus chapter 32, Moses asked a question, and I want to put this question before us today. He said, who is willing to stand? He said, who is on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Well, you know what? That's where every one of God's people ought to be, on the Lord's side. We need to take His part. We need to do what's right. What did it say about Josiah? He did what was right in the eyes of who? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Folks, that's what counts. That's what's important. That we do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast, stand fast, stand solid, be strong, make a strong stand. And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. I shared this here in the lesson Wednesday night. It just baffled Paul. It just amazed him. He used the word marvel when he saw the influence that the Judaizers had on the churches in Galatia. You know, they were teaching, the Judaizers were teaching that you couldn't be saved unless you were circumcised after the law of Moses. And they had a big influence among the Galatians with that false teaching. And the Apostle Paul wrote to them and he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel that was preached unto you. You know what Paul told them? He said, you know, the truth, the gospel that we shared with you, he said, if an angel from heaven or anybody else, even us, even we ourselves, try to bring any other gospel before you, let that man be accursed. Stand for the truth upon which you were established. Now, we live in a world today, and it's always been this way, but we live in a world today that it is so important that the people of God stand for the truth, that we make a firm stand about what's right and about what's not. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you. I know it's not an easy thing, but let me encourage you as young Christians. You know, maybe you are still in school. Maybe you are around a lot of peer pressure, but let me encourage you, even in your youth, stand up for what's right. Stand up for God. Stand up for the one that saved you from your sins. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. That old saying is so true. Preachers, stand for God. Listen, when you have an opportunity to preach, you know, if you're in the pulpit at church or wherever that it's at, stand on the truth. Do what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. I mean, just let the truth fly. Preach it. Be instant in season, out of season. Don't let the fact that there's people that you know are not going to receive it, don't let that change you. Don't let that cause you to back down one bit. Just because there are people that are not going to receive the truth, he told Timothy, preach the word. reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, knowing this, Timothy, that the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Boy, I tell you what, if you stand for the truth, whether you're a lay member or whether you're a preacher, if you really stand for the truth, know this, that there's going to be people that are going to oppose it. There's going to be people that won't receive it. Sometimes it might be people that surprise you. Sometimes it might be somebody that you may say, well, I thought for sure that person would have stood for the truth. But regardless, we have an obligation to God to stand for the truth. No matter who stands against us, we've got to love the Lord enough to make a strong stand for Him. I'm thankful to God. I heard Brother Lowe mention this. I heard him mention this today. I'm thankful for those that lived before us that stood for God, that stood with their feet on that solid rock. They stood firm against all opposition. And listen, they faced things, many of them faced things that we haven't yet faced. But they stood in the face of all opposition. They stood firm for the truth of God's word. They were hated by the world. Let me tell you something. If you're afraid to be hated by the world, you're not going to stand for the truth. Because Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you too. Hated by the world, they stood for God and for His truth, and we still have it today. And God help us to stand that the truth will be passed on, should God allow time, to those that, you know, if God allows time to go on, may there someday be a group of people that will be in reference to us, that'll be saying, I'm thankful for the people that stood for the truth, that passed it on to us. We need to make a stand for the Lord. God bless you. I hope that this helps somebody in some way. I have a cousin in Indianapolis. He sings a song. When you stand up for Jesus, you stand on solid ground. When you stand up for Jesus, He won't let you down. We sing that song from time to time. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to stand up for Jesus. Anybody have anything on your heart?